Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to the Lifebook Member Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Life Vision Month, here we are in December. And all of that work, all those 11 categories, culminate to your life vision. We're talking beliefs about life vision today with belief expert, Lion Goodman. How you doing, Lion?
I am great. Let's create a great vision for the future.
Absolutely, man. It's so necessary. I think that I want to start by emphasizing the importance of a life vision in today's world. And I'll tell you why. You know, since you've opened my eyes to beliefs, I look at the world in a whole different way, man. I really do. And one of the things that I see, I don't know if you could describe it as optimists versus pessimists, but what I see, and it really correlates to people's happiness, is certain people's expectations of how things will turn out, in life, in their life, how the world will turn out, how any given little situation will turn out. It's crazy when you have no life vision because you're kind of just at the whim of this kind of optimist versus pessimist. It's really boils down to your beliefs. And maybe it has something to do, I want you to tell me, have to do with if they believe they deserve good things to happen to them, maybe. But I don't know why anyone would choose to go through life expecting negative outcomes. And I do think that that might be one of the saddest fates that I see in modern free society. You know what I mean?
I do. If people had a choice, of course, they would choose the more positive belief. However, most beliefs were programmed into us when we were quite young. They become the frame through which we look at the world. And so they're not really choiceful. They're programs. They're programs that we got early in life. And they now are filtering what we think, feel, and experience. So yes, let's get into a more choiceful position by recognizing we have beliefs, clearing the ones we don't want, and installing new ones. Mm-hmm. The reason people have the future they envision is because our beliefs create a reality. They shape what we can see and what we can't see. They're like a filter in front of our eyes. So if you have a filter that says it's not going to turn out well, then what you see is everything that's not turning out well, and it verifies your belief. Mm-hmm. If you have a belief that says things are going to turn out great, then your eyes are open to different things that are happening, and you say, wow, that really worked. Oh, that didn't work. But that one really worked. Oh, that didn't work. But that one really worked out.
Right.
So you're focusing in a different place, and it's changing your experience.
Do you believe it works both ways? Like, when you say it shapes reality, I really believe now that it does. I mean, thoughts become things. It's kind of just like a cliche. I do believe that these beliefs and your thoughts and your mental energy will shape the world, like, around you, like the matter.
Absolutely. And if you think of it as a filter you see through, it makes more sense. It's not woo-woo. It's just the way the mind works.
Right.
So every belief is like a lens. We look through those lenses. We see what it can see, and it filters out a certain part of reality, and it allows in a certain part of reality.
Yeah, accentuates others, yeah.
Yeah. So then we're experiencing whatever it allows in. If we didn't have any beliefs and we had no filters, we'd experience the world exactly as it is, which is infinitely complex and absolutely beyond description.
Right.
That's the great quote from Aldous Huxley about the doors of perception. You know, if you could open the doors of perception, you'd see things as they are, which is infinite.
Wow. Yeah. I just feel like the self-fulfillment. I've never believed more than I do now in the power of visualization and self-fulfillment. You know, when you're to just boil it down to super lay terms, when you're going in for the job interview, you know, and you go in there thinking you're not going to get it. It's like Henry Ford said, if you believe you can or you believe you can't, you're probably right.
Exactly. I've got a great story about visualization. Can I share it?
Please.
So I was looking for a new house. This was about 18 years ago. And I was doing exactly what you're supposed to do when you're looking for a new house. You scan the newspapers and you work with a real estate agent and you tell them what you want and what you can afford and he takes you around. So this guy was taking me around and I had certain things I wanted. I could afford a certain price and it had to have certain qualities, certain size. And he kept saying, no, you're being unrealistic. You're not going to find the kind of house you want for the price you can afford. And I said, well, none of these have worked out. You know, show me some more. So in about 6 month period, he showed me about 50 houses, and none of them were the right house. And I was getting frustrated. He was frustrated. And one day I was thinking about how frustrated I was and went, oh, my God, I forgot to visualize. Oh, like, you know, slap on the forehead kind of moment.
Totally.
And I said, of course I know how to visualize, but I haven't done it in this case. I've been looking at what's available, not visualizing what I want. And so I sat down at my altar and I put myself in a very beautiful state and I began basically writing the order to God, saying, okay, I want it to have this much light and I want it to be close to nature and animals and I want space for my business and space for my community. And I wasn't saying where it ought to be or what it ought to be made of. I was basically saying the qualities that I wanted in the house. Mm. And I put the order together, sent it up, you know, through the waiter to the kitchen, you know, so that it could be cooked up. And I just let it go. And I said, okay, I trust that you're going to deliver what I need and want. And 2 weeks later, my real estate agent called and said, I think I found your house. And I went, okay, well, let's go look. And I went in and I looked at the house and I went, yep, this is what I called for. It was exactly what I wanted. It was a little bit more than I wanted to pay, but I negotiated them down. And my real estate agent said, you got more house for the money than I've seen in 20 years.
That's incredible.
So that's the power of visualization. When you do it well and right, it works and you actually create opportunities. Now, I don't know whether the house, you know, the owners of the house caught my vision and put it on the market or whether it was just, you know, timing, but whatever it was, there was something connecting my visualization with that house becoming available.
That's absolutely right.
Like the third person to see it, and I made an offer immediately. So anyway, little example story.
Well, that's just another tool that I feel like you need to arm yourself with, these types of tools, you know, crafting a life vision, defining your purpose, visualizing in all aspects of your life that you care about. I mean, these are things that, man, these are crucial life tools. Lion, why are they teaching us igneous rocks and cumulus clouds in school? And they're not arming anybody with this super important stuff. It's really a shame.
It is a shame. And of course, schools don't teach it because the teachers don't know it. You know, they're living their life out of their beliefs and their accumulated knowledge from their past. And nobody told them that this was important. So they're living their life of, you know, their small life of perhaps misery, perhaps joy. But they don't have the tools. Nobody gave them the tools, so how could they give them to the kids? So that's why we're here, is sharing these new tools for new possibilities.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I want to double back, though, and I want to talk about this idea of outcomes and fear of the unknown. I know that you've done a lot of work in this area, right?
Yes. In fact, I've written articles about it.
Talk to me about that.
Okay. Well, first of all, the unknown is scary. And there's a basic rule of the mind that says, if it's familiar, it's safe and comfortable. If it's unfamiliar, it's dangerous and uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So familiar is safe, unfamiliar, dangerous. This is what creates tribes, right? Well, you're part of the tribe, so you're familiar and therefore safe. Somebody comes in from another tribe, they look different, smell different, act different. That could be dangerous.
Right.
And so this is so deep in our primitive brain. This is why, you know, monkey troops don't allow anybody else to come into the troop unless you're born into it. You know, maybe they'll adopt somebody, but for the most part, they'll go and attack anybody that tries to get in because they're dangerous. So that's how deep it goes. And so whenever we're in unfamiliar territory or things are uncertain or we don't know what's going on, we feel fear. And I'll give you an experiment to do. Let's do this with all the listeners. So feel what it feels like to hold the belief, I don't know what's going to happen next. And just say it to yourself as if it's 100% true, and you'll feel the sensation, I don't know what's going to happen next. So what does it feel like to you, Jordan?
Well, I feel the anticipation rise, but I imagine it might be different for different people. But I definitely feel the sensation of the butterflies in the stomach sort of thing. I kind of enjoy the unknown a lot of times.
Yes. So if you're standing in front of a roller coaster,
that's the feeling.
And you have those butterflies and vibration in your chest. It depends on what you believe. If you believe I can handle this, then it's excitement. And if you believe I can't handle this, then it's fear.
All right.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, just a toggle of a belief.
Yeah. So now let's try another one. So feel what it feels like to hold the belief something bad might happen.
Yeah, that's not good. That's a much darker, more sinking, heavy feeling.
Yeah. So basically, the signal that you're getting from your brain is essentially preparing you for fight, flight, freeze, or fold, the four limbic system responses to high stress and danger. So these beliefs are built-in survival mechanisms. And so unknown, discomfort, dangerous. So if I have a belief that I can put in the unknown, at least something is known. And this is one of the fundamental aspects of belief, is that if I believe something bad is definitely going to happen, that's actually better than not knowing what's going to happen.
Oh, wow. I totally see that sometimes in people. Wow.
Yeah.
So they're more after the comfort than they are the actual, trying to avoid the pain. How do you phrase that, I guess?
Yeah, it's like a person who stays in an abusive relationship. Well, at least I have a relationship and I know what to expect.
Right, okay.
Yeah, but why don't you leave? Well, I don't know what would happen if I left. Well, maybe something good would happen. Yeah, but it's a lot more comfortable staying here.
Wow.
So this is true for all our beliefs, is that our beliefs provide a structure that keep us from that unknown feeling of anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, well, that's the thing. I'm glad that we get to work amongst this community of Conscious Lifebook members, and they have their life visions, which at least gives you some sort of compass, you know? It's like... I feel the exact opposite of what you just said, you know, the comfortability thing. I take so much comfort in having some sort of direction. I know that it's probably not going to turn out exactly like my life vision kind of makes it out to be. But even if it's a couple degrees, you know, east or west, it's going to be better than if I was just kind of out there afloat.
Yeah, well, let's extend that metaphor a bit and think about you're in a sailboat and the winds are blowing a particular direction. Now, if you're a good sailor, you could target a place you want to land across the lake, for example, and you could tack back and forth no matter which way the wind's blowing and get to your destination, right? That's a good sailor.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know where you're going, you might as well just let
the wind
sails fluff, right? Because
yes.
It doesn't matter. You're just out to be pushed around by the winds. That's fine. You know, if you want to just enjoy where you are, yeah, it doesn't matter where you're going. But
right.
If you have a place to go, you can get there if you have the ability to control whatever the winds are. And the winds in our life are the circumstances. Things come in, you know, things happen.
Yes.
Happens.
Yes.
And so how do I navigate that? So it's really a navigation issue.
Yes.
And as you said, when you have a life vision, you have a direction to go so you can navigate.
Well, let's just wrap up with, you know, taking a look at someone who does have their 11 other categories together and has their life vision. What are some beliefs that they may still be facing that they need to get over? You know, like a lot of the times you can figure this stuff out, but you may still have an underlying belief that maybe I don't deserve it, that sort of thing. Does that come up a lot in your work?
Sure. Deserving is one of the deep beliefs that really take people down. So any deservingness beliefs, here's the way to test it. So the way you test it is you state your life vision, what you want to be, have, or do, in a positive form. For example, I will have a new house, of the house of my dreams, by the end of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And then you listen to your mind and you see what comes up. So when I say that, what comes up for me is, oh, you can't afford the house of your dreams.
Right.
So now I write that down. That's a negative belief about my affordability, right? Or if I hear, then I state it again. I will have my dream house by the end of 2020. And I listen to my mind again. And it says, you don't deserve that. Okay, I write that down. And then I state it again and again and again and again. And just listen to my mind talking, because all of those negative beliefs are responding to the positive statement. And they're coming up because the positive statement is actually in contradiction to that belief. And so that's the way to flush them out, is to find out what beliefs are in the way.
That's great. That's a great exercise. So now we're going to lead into the life vision clearing. Thank you so much, Lion, for putting this together. And thank you for doing all these 12 categories.
Thank you, Jordan. It's been really fun.
Stay tuned after the clearing for a little outro and belief chat, listeners. All right, everyone, enjoy the clearing.
Here we go, a deep dive into life vision. Have you already clarified your life vision? Have you fully visualized it in all of its detail? Have you already manifested it in your reality and in your world? Are you well on your way? If not, there are probably some beliefs in the way that are preventing you from doing so. If you had no beliefs in the way whatsoever, you'd be able to manifest your vision and intention smoothly, almost effortlessly. Not instantly, because anything great takes time to create. Are you already aware of what's limiting you? Do you know what's interfering with your vision, or your decision-making process, or the actions that will get you moving toward manifesting the life of your dreams? Life vision is about the future. It answers these questions. How do I want to live? What do I want to be experiencing? Where am I today, and where do I want to be a year from now? 5 years from now? 10 years from now? 20 years from now? And how will I get there? There are many steps involved in designing and creating a life vision for yourself. The first step is knowing where you are now, which requires a lot of thought and self-honesty, really looking at your current situation. What's good about where you are right now? And what's not so great? What are you satisfied with? And where are you dissatisfied? If you want to go someplace, you first need to know where you are. For example, imagine that you decided to travel from San Francisco to New York. You do the research and learn everything you need to know. You buy your tickets and you pack your bags. But all that doesn't do you a damn bit of good if you're actually in Kansas. You have to know where you are. What's your current position? What's your current state of mind? How is your physical health and stamina? What's the state of your relationships? Once you know those things, then you can establish a vision for the future, a destination, or a goal you want to achieve. If you're in Kansas, it would be more useful to learn how to get from Kansas to New York. As we discussed in the intro, the next step is to determine what your values are. What do you value? Value is a word that describes how you prioritize. This is more valuable to me than that. Value is different than want. Want is an expression of desire, and value is an expression of importance. You can want a new car, but you may value experiences more than things, so you decide to take a vacation rather than buy a new car. As we discussed in the intro, the next step is to determine what your values are. What do you value? Value is a word that describes how you prioritize. This is more valuable to me than that. Value is different than want. Want is an expression of desire, and value is an expression of importance. You can want a new car, but you may value experiences more than things, so you decide to take a vacation rather than buy a new car. You'll get a certain experience having a new car, But you also know that experience only lasts until you get the first dent or scratch, and then suddenly it's just a car. A vacation would give you a wide variety of experiences, and that may be more valuable than the prestige and pride of driving around in your brand new car. Of course, when you get back from vacation, the experiences will be only a memory, but the memory can last a lifetime. You can see that this prioritizing will take you some time to sort out. And if you're married or in a committed relationship, you have to find out what your partner values and see where there are similarities and differences. How do you navigate that? Do you want the same things? Do you value the same things? What do you each want most of all, and what do you value most of all? Take some time to write down everything you value. Things, experiences, lifestyle, people, family, what you do with your time, learning, comfort, and when you have a complete list, then prioritize the list. What do you value most and second most, and so on. Once you have your values clear, your life vision will be a reflection of that. You can imagine a life in which you have everything you value and much of what you desire. It probably won't be everything you desire. Our desires keep changing and shifting over time, but our values stay pretty solid over our lifetime. Eric Hoffer, a moral and social philosopher, author of The True Believer, said, "You can never get enough of what you don't need to make you happy." I'll say it again because it's tricky. You can never get enough of what you don't need to make you happy. He's pointing out that our wants are mostly manufactured by Madison Avenue advertising firms who are paid to create desire in our minds, which appear to be endlessly hungry. Corporations who have something to sell pay these companies to find out how to influence or brainwash you into buying what you don't really need but they have to sell. And no matter how much of that stuff you buy, it doesn't make you happy, because your desire for that thing isn't coming from your values, but from someone else's need to make a profit and abuse your psychology. That's why it's so important to do this values exercise, because otherwise you'll be chasing the wrong life vision. You'll be working toward what others want for you, what society and the media says you should want, rather than what you really want, which comes from the inside. After you get clear about your values and priorities, your life vision is the future possibility of you actually having that in your life, living in that way. It's how you want your life to be. You're learning the art of consciously creating your life here at Lifebook. You learn that when you set your sights on a goal, you can achieve it. So make sure that each goal is in the realm of your values, not just your manufactured or programmed desires. Once you're clear about what you actually want in each of the 12 areas of life, you can check to see where that desire comes from. Let's do an experiment. Get out a piece of paper or open a document on your computer or phone. Pick something that you really want, something that's a high priority for you to get, something you know will make you happy if you have it. Maybe it's a new car, or a new house, or a new relationship. Maybe it's finishing your education, or being free from debt, or a sleek, strong, healthy body. Put that at the top of your document and write it as a belief, or we could call it a declaration. I want a new car, or I want to be married and have two children. So write it down now at the top of your document. Now close your eyes and relax. I'm going to ask you a series of questions to ask yourself. Consider each question carefully, and then open your eyes and write down the answer. Then turn off the recording and ask yourself the same question at least two more times. You're doing this to dig down below your top-of-mind answer, to find out what's underneath that and what's underneath that. It's like digging for gold. If you find a speck of gold, there's likely more there, so you dig deeper. And if you find a nugget, you dig even deeper to find the vein of gold that might be underground. Ready? Here we go. I'll guide you through the digging. With regard to this desire that you've identified, where did this desire come from? Contemplate the question and write down the answer that comes up first. Where else did this desire come from? Perhaps an earlier experience, or another person's words, or something you saw on TV. What is the original source of this desire? How far back can you remember it? And was there a particular incident or message you got that was the origin point for this desire? Question 2. With regard to this desire, how will it feel when this desire is fulfilled? How does it feel now to not have it? When did you first notice this feeling of not having it? We could call it a lack or a hunger. What's the earliest age or incident in which you remember that feeling of not having the feeling you wanted, that feeling of lack or hunger? Question 3. With regard to this desire, who else wants this for you? Write down the first answer that comes up. Who else wants this for you? It might have been your parents or teachers or a group that you belong to or something you saw on television or in other media or in conversations. Who else wants this for you? Who would be really happy and pleased if you had this thing you desire? And if you never achieved it, if you never got it, who would be unhappy for you or disappointed in you? Good. Look over your answers and get a sense for how this particular desire was born in your life and how it grew into a present want. It might have come from an inner stirring or intuition that this was right for you. If so, you're on the right track. If it came from an outside influence, you'll want to check it against your real desires, wants, interests, and values now, and see whether it's still valid or whether it's an echo from the past. This will help you clarify your life vision to ensure that your vision is your own and not someone else's. After you clarify each component of your life vision, you need a plan for achieving each aspect of each component so you know what to do to move yourself forward, step by step, toward that vision. There are always many ways to move forward, many different options and choices, and it's difficult to choose among them. What do you do first? What do you do second? I'm going to share a very powerful technology that's used by large corporations to solve this problem. It's called Remembering Your Way Back from the Future. It's pretty easy to figure out how you got here from where you were a year ago. All you have to do is remember what you did yesterday, and then the day before that, and then the day before that, and each choice that you made that brought you closer and closer to right now. And life is made of choices. But we don't have a memory of the future. Or do we? In your imagination, you do. Get ready for about a 5-minute guided journey, and keep your pencil and paper or your computer document close by because you'll want to open your eyes from time to time and write down a few notes or something that will help you remember each step along the way. The first step is to pick one of your really big goals, one that's aligned with your values and is achievable within 1 to 3 years if you really dedicate yourself to it. Turn off the recording if it will take you some time to decide or discover what it is. The more specific, the better. If you can't imagine it happening in 1 to 3 years, pick a different goal that you can imagine you're actually achieving. Okay, you have your goal and it's out in the distance, 1 to 3 years in the future. If you haven't written it down, write it down now. Now, imagine that you're going to enter a time machine that can take you into the future. It might look like it's from the movie The Time Machine, or it might look like the DeLorean in Back to the Future, or maybe a space shuttle, or just a sphere that can magically transport you wherever and whenever you desire. With your eyes closed, imagine your time machine magically appearing in front of you and enter it. Now program the time machine to take you into the future, to the time when you are celebrating the accomplishment of the goal that you wrote down. You might be having a big party where everyone is having a good time and congratulating you on your accomplishment. If you're going to write a book, it might be the book launch at the bookstore. And as you enter the store, you can see your book featured in the window and more than 100 people lined up to have you sign their book. If your goal was a vacation in an exotic location, imagine arriving there and enjoying the surroundings and relaxing deeply. Whatever your goal is, program the time machine to whisk you there rapidly to the celebration of accomplishing that goal. And then let the time machine whisk you to that moment in time. Wonderful. You've arrived. You've arrived at that time just after you've accomplished your goal. You step out of the time machine and look around at your surroundings. People are raising their glasses of champagne to you or featuring you as the keynote speaker. Or maybe you just got married and this is the after party. Feel what it feels like to have accomplished that goal. Feel how good it feels. You're getting the admiration and support and recognition you've always wanted. People are celebrating you. You have arrived. Enjoy that feeling and this situation for the next minute. And then open your eyes and write down a few highlights from this experience. Okay, great. I hope you've been enjoying that thoroughly. Now, take yourself a little away from what's going on. Find a quiet place to contemplate your success. Feel your pride and that good feeling that comes from accomplishing a big goal. And now, ask yourself the question, how did I get here? Clearly, you took many actions and made many decisions over a year or many years. It wasn't an easy path, but you stuck with it, even in the face of difficulty. Start by thinking about where you were last month at this time. Just a month ago, you could see this moment coming. You were putting the finishing touches on planning this party and getting your invitations out and making sure everything would go smoothly. That's one step back in your memory of these past years. Now go back 6 months and remember how it felt. You could probably see your goal. You could see it coming, but there were still many things to be done to make it happen. Did you have a team working with you? How organized did you have to be? How much courage did you need to face the difficulties that were arising at that time? And how did you handle them? Who is standing by you and helping you and supporting you? How are you keeping yourself and other people accountable? Did you have a coach or mentor helping you? Open your eyes and make a few notations about where you were at that time. And then close your eyes again and remember the decisions you made during this past 6 months. No matter what the goal is, it seems like getting that final 10% done takes the longest. Because you're so close, you realize how many more things have to be done to complete it. Feel your mastery over your situation and your environment. The mastery that enabled you to get that last distance, this last 10%. And the strength of character and the attitude you needed to bring it home and make it happen. Take a moment and fill yourself with pride for a job well done. And if you wish to write down a few notes, do that now. And when you're done, close your eyes and return to this place where you're remembering how you got here. Good. Now remember what you were doing a year ago when you were only halfway or two-thirds of the way to accomplishing this goal. Remember the difficulties you ran into and the way you got help when you needed it. And remember the doubts that you had. Can I really do this? What if it never happens? What tools or knowledge or help did you get to move past those doubts and second thoughts so you could keep going? As much as you got done, it seemed like there was still so much to do. So you kept track of the to-dos and the plans with the help of some technology. What did you use? Were you in charge of the project, or did you have someone that you assigned to be in charge of the project? Who was supporting it to make sure it happened? You can see this day of accomplishment, off into the distant future, and your passion sustained you. So remember the passion that kept you going and the desire to accomplish this goal. Remember this whole past year and all the steps you had to take and the decisions you had to make throughout the year to get the goal accomplished, the goal that everyone is now celebrating. Take a few notes about what you remember and how you made those decisions. Now remember even further back than a year ago. Maybe it was 2 years ago or even longer. And remember how difficult this journey looked at that point. You had made some progress, and you had run into some problems as well. You were working hard to keep it all together, and you knew that your desire for that goal and your clarity about your vision could sustain you along that journey. You had to make some tough decisions along the way. You had to prioritize. You had to let some things go. Maybe you had to modify your goal, or you were scared about money, or you heard critical inner voices or other people's voices telling you that you might not make it or that you'd fail. But you persisted. If you made a mistake, you learned from it. You found your way back and kept going. Look at all of those decisions and choices you had to make along the way. There were many choice points. Did you allow your intuition to guide you at times? Or did a wise elder give you some good advice? Did you just get smart about it, or did you have some luck and grace along the way? You can look back to that time and see how each choice you made eventually brought you closer to this goal, even if you went down some blind alleys at times. As you remember what it was like and how you got through the difficulties at this time, write down some notes, and then close your eyes again. Now remember back, all the way back, to that Lifebook podcast you listened to, when you heard about this idea that you could remember your way back from the future and find a way forward based on those memories. Isn't that amazing? This whole journey you've been on was just like the journey you imagined all the way back then. So many of the details and choices along the way were just like what you had remembered, even though they hadn't happened yet. What was that guy's name? Oh yeah, funny name, Lion something. It was through the Lifebook journey that led you here, and all the work you did on your Lifebook with John and Missy, where you clarified your vision, and you examined and cleared your limiting beliefs, and you set strong intentions, and you made plans so you could take action. What a trip it's been. Now you can remember the whole sequence of events, one after the other, and the choices you made, one after the other, each of which led you closer to this moment, where there's a party going on. Hey, there's a party going on in your honor. You better get back to it. Go enjoy the party. I'll be back shortly to guide you the rest of the way. Wonderful. I hope you've enjoyed yourself, and congratulations. Now I'd like you to fast forward to the next day, when the celebration is over, and you feel great about your accomplishment and all the experiences you had during the celebration. Now you can begin to think about the next goal that you could accomplish. But first, you have to climb back into that time machine and set it for that date way back when you were listening to this recording. And the time machine whisks you back to this time and this place where you're listening to the sound of my voice. Welcome back. Take a few minutes now, contemplate what you've just experienced, and write down some notes about what you saw and what you experienced, and how you felt, and what choices you made. Turn off the recording until you're done writing. Welcome back, and thank you for going on that journey with me. It's been a real pleasure to be with you and help you clear your beliefs and whatever's in your way. Please feel free to reach out to me by emailing me at liongoodman@gmail.com. You can also make an appointment for a complimentary 15-minute chat at bit.ly/lion15minute. That's bit.ly/Lion, L-I-O-N, 15 minute, M-I-N-U-T-E. I look forward to connecting with you as we walk together and work together along this beautiful path. See you the next time.
All right, everyone. So there you have it. Lion Goodman's 12th and final Lifebook member clearing. Lion, we are here on the line again for an outro. Thank you for joining me, and thank you so much for all 12 clearings across all 12 categories. It's really been an honor to share this year with you and explore all these amazing subjects together.
Well, you are very welcome, and it's also an honor for me to be invited. So I love the sharing of all of this information with your audience, with your tribe, because this information can help everybody.
It's true, and it's very meta. It's very overarching. It's really quite deep-rooted. And if I can just point out a few moments that stood out to me this year, I would love to just recap here as we chat about this incredible year gone by.
I'd love to hear what touched you.
I remember all the way back to the intellectual category and how fascinating the exercise was, where you were trying to get us to switch labels on different exterior objects, simple objects.
Yes.
It just struck me as I didn't get it as much then as I do now. And then fast forwarding all the way up to, I want to say it was career month. It was the outfit changing exercise that you spoke about. Similar in that you were switching different labels, right? But it's that same imaginative muscle, that imaginal realm you talk about.
Yes.
Working that out was really fascinating. And those two exercises really stood out to me personally.
Well, thank you for that. One of the things about the human mind is that it is imaginal. I mean, all of our experience is in our interior world. I can describe my experience to you, but what I experienced is mine, and it's multidimensional and multisensory, and it's very difficult to describe any experience to someone else.
We use
words like emotion, words, I'm feeling anxious. Well, that doesn't really tell you anything about what I'm experiencing inside my body.
Yeah.
But it communicates enough that you go, oh, that's too bad. What are you anxious about? Right? So it's language is a practical way of transmitting experience, but it isn't direct experience. And so the processes I use are directly experiential because that's where change happens.
That's really interesting stuff, man. I want to ask you, how has this been for you? You know, you work with so many people on their beliefs, kind of, I don't want to say in a vacuum, but just in your way, in your method, now reshaping it across these 12 categories. What have you kind of discovered or learned?
One of the things that became clear to me is how pervasive beliefs are in each category.
Hmm.
You know, the beliefs we have, the limiting and negative beliefs we have, limit our vision. So trying to create a vision of your character or a vision of your relationship, they can interfere with your intentions of what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
They can limit you there. Your action plans, you can make all the plans you want, but if your beliefs are limiting you, you won't actually do the actions. So they really are pervasive. They are the infrastructure of the human mind. And no matter what category they are, if you have a tool for clearing them out of the way, you're going to open all those categories for yourself.
Totally. I feel like it's rocket fuel to the personal development, any personal development program, really, because, you know, it's somewhere between a supplement and a prerequisite when it comes to bettering yourself.
Yeah, for me, it's a base tool. It's sort of like having a fold-up knife in your pocket. It's handy whenever you need to cut
Swiss
something.
Swiss Army knife. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other important point that got re-emphasized in doing this work with you is that there's this automatic nature of resistance. And this is a rule of the mind that a lot of people are not familiar with. And that is that whenever you decide to do something new, whenever you make a decision or you're going to create something, our old beliefs automatically jump up and reassert themselves.
Mm.
And what it sounds like are doubts, or fears, or second thoughts, or negative inner voices, or indecision. And so these old beliefs take us out of being choiceful and in control of our life, and they bring us back into old patterns that are familiar, but not very productive.
Mm, often unhealthy. Yeah.
Yeah. And the difference between people who are successful and people who are not successful is that successful people know how to handle that stuff that comes up. Like, for example, great actors, you know, before they go on stage, feel the anxiety of going out in front of an audience, but then they have ways of handling it and getting past it. A lot of people fail because they don't get past that inner resistance, the inner beliefs, the inner voices that come up and tell them, no, you shouldn't be doing this.
Mm-hmm. So true. Man, what a pleasure to work with you. Before we sign off here for this 12th episode, do you have any final words you want to share with these Lifebook members who have, you know, explored so much over this past year?
Sure. One of the most important concepts that I want to share at the end here is that, you know, we talk about negative and limiting beliefs, but there's also positive and empowering beliefs. And you can try on any belief to see what it feels like. This is where we did the costume or the outfit exercise. So, for example, a positive or empowering belief would be, I can do anything I set my mind to.
Mm-hmm.
So you can try that on, see how it feels, and then see what comes up in resistance, because that means there's an old belief that is there. And so learn how to clear that old belief, and then the new one can actually take shape. So this is where affirmations come in. You can affirm something all day long, but all it's doing is stimulating the old beliefs, and the old beliefs need to be cleared in order for that affirmation to come true.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's also enlightening beliefs. And for example, you can try these on. For example, I am source. Now, when you try that on, you get a certain experience. You get an enlightening kind of experience. And then other stuff will come up like, no, you're not. And so I want to encourage people to try on lots of different beliefs, see how they feel, notice which ones stimulate them, and notice where what they want to create. It's a way of determining what's in the way and how to get what you want.
Amazing. Amazing, Lion. One more time, man. Thank you so much on just personally here. Thank you for doing this. What a pleasure it's been over these 12 months. Where can we send people, all the people who want more Lion Goodman? ClearYourBeliefs.com?
ClearYourBeliefs.com and also LionGoodman.com. There's a lot of resources there as well.
And let's talk about doing something in 2020. I think that there's a good chance that you and me go forth and do some sort of project together.
I would absolutely love that, Jordan. And I want to send my best wishes for all of your listeners. It's been a great pleasure to be here with you.
Yeah, thank you for tuning in, everyone. You guys responded so well to this episode series. This overarching theme of beliefs over the year has been incredible. And we couldn't have done it without you guys and you guys opening up and giving us all the great feedback. So thank you to you, Lifebook members who are listening. And yeah, this is Lion Goodman and Jordan River signing off for the final time in 2019. Thank you all for listening. Have an extraordinary day, everybody. Bye-bye.